Whenever my cousin reminds his daughter, Tanisha, who is barely 3 years old, by the way, that she can become a president, everything in me believes it. And here's why. Women's struggle for equality around the world has been on the rise since the turn of the 21st century, despite being around for a time longer than that. Successes have been recorded. There is, however, much more to be done. Although we will not forget the many women who are being celebrated for their numerous achievements that have helped to shape the course of history. One of such achievements was celebrated in 2006 when Ellen Johnson Sirleaf became the first democratically elected African head of state. Hello, Jamit fam. Welcome to another episode of Long Story Short. And I am your privileged host, Liwa. The pages of our story from Africa today turns to the world of a trailblazer. A woman who changed the course of history as we know it in the most unprecedented way. You have most definitely heard of her. So, take a seat and grab your favorite drink this time, because it's story time. As at 1938, while Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party were causing tensions in Europe, Ellen Eugenia Johnson was born in October of that same year in Monrovia, Liberia. Ellen had a comfortable childhood. Her father was a well-to-do business person, and they lived in an affluent section of Monrovia. There, she attended the College of West Africa, a prestigious Methodist preparatory high school, which was founded in 1904. However, their lives changed when Ellen's father came down with a stroke. This meant he couldn't provide for the family as much as he used to. But little Ellen realized something else. She figured that her chances of pursuing higher education would likely be hampered because her family would not be able to pay her fees. So she made a decision. While her friends were moving to the United States and other parts of the world to further their studies, Ellen, at 17, chose to marry a teacher named James Sirleaf, who later worked for Liberia's Department of Agriculture. And together, they had four sons. While caring for the children, she also worked as a secretary for an auto repair shop. 6 years into their marriage, Ellen accompanied her husband to the United States, where she was able to continue her education and earned an associate degree in accounting from the Madison Business College. Thereafter, the couple returned to Liberia. On their return, Ellen got a job with the Treasury Department while James returned to work for the Department of Agriculture. That same year, however, Ellen's marriage ended in divorce because James was an abusive partner. So, being single again, Ellen decided to return to the U.S. to finish her degree. With a degree in economics from CU Boulder, that is the University of Colorado Boulder, she proceeded to Harvard University to earn a Master of Public Administration from the John F. Kennedy School of Government. The period Ellen was studying in the U.S. was monumental and historical. During that time, she witnessed the vibrancy of the civil rights movement, protests, and political rallies organized by African Americans and different minority groups. This experience could have shaped her later decisions in life. Now, you would think that someone like Ellen, who earned a master's degree from the prestigious Harvard University, would stay in the US to explore opportunities, right? Well, Ellen did not do that. Rather, she returned home to serve. When Ellen returned to Liberia, she had the opportunity to serve as an assistant minister of finance under Liberia's 20th president, William Tolbert. However, she did not stay under the radar for long. One time, while delivering a speech, she made a daring statement calling out the big corporations in Liberia, where she claimed that they were stashing monies and profits meant for the development of the country abroad. This immediately put her in the public eye. Ellen, unlike some of Africa's current public servants, had a problem with wastage, especially when it came to public funds. Therefore, after just a year as an assistant minister, she resigned because her views on government spending were very different from that of the incumbent administration. A few years later, though, she was appointed as the Minister of Finance and served until 1980, when everything changed. The day was 12 April 1980. Samuel Doe had removed the sitting government in a coup d'etat and ordered the execution of the president and his cabinet, except four people. Ellen escaped death by the whiskers that day. In a turn of events, she was offered the position of the president of the Liberian Bank for Development and Investment under the new government, which she accepted. However, after publicly criticizing Samuel Doe and the People's Redemption Council, she ran for her life by fleeing the country. People say home is where the heart is. Maybe that was why Ellen returned to Liberia after working for the World Bank and serving as vice president of the Africa Regional Office of Citibank to contest as a vice presidential candidate in Liberia's general election 5 years after she had fled. During her campaign, Ellen openly criticized the military government. This led to her being placed under house arrest and later handed a 10-year prison sentence. However, pressure from the international community forced Samuel Doe to release her, and to further weaken her resolve, she was removed from the presidential ticket, and this made her to contest for a senatorial seat. And guess what? She won. Nevertheless, she refused to accept the Senate seat. Why? Well, Ellen believed that the elections were not free and fair, so she was not going to take the seat. What did this lead to? Another arrest. Despite under arrest, Ellen refused to accept the seat. Fortunately for her, though, she was released after a short while, and in a manner that seemed all too familiar, Ellen fled the country again. Now, some might say she was stubborn. Others might say she was just hot-headed and power-hungry. However, the Iron Lady was not the type to give up easily. So, in 2005, Ellen ran for president again after her first try in 1997. This time, she promised to end civil strife and corruption, establish unity, and also rebuild the country's devastated infrastructure. At the end of the first round of voting, Ellen came second. But on November 8, 2005, Ellen won the runoff election, defeating Ballon d'Or winner and football legend George Weah. On April 16, 2006, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was sworn in as president of Liberia, the first woman president in Africa. It was unheard of. History was not just made, it was sealed. Moreover, she did not do this once, but the second time she ran for president, she topped the polls again. That was in 2011, and served as president until 2017. With Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's struggles and her rise to the highest office in Liberia, was she able to make anything of it? And what legacy did she even leave? One of the first things President Sirleaf did after her swearing in was the establishment of a Truth and Reconciliation Committee. The committee's main aim was to probe corruption and heal ethnic tensions that had taken a toll on citizens after two civil wars. By doing this, Ellen recognized that whatever might have caused friction in the country needed practical solutions in solving them. Keeping to her campaign promise, President Sirleaf was able to secure millions of dollars in foreign investment for Liberia. She succeeded in convincing the IMF and other lenders to forego Liberia's debt while negotiating deals for infrastructural development. And fast forward to late 2010, something remarkable happened. Liberia's entire foreign debt had been cleared. How? This was due to the deals President Sirleaf was able to secure. While in office, President Sirleaf also became the first female chairperson of the Economic Community of West African States, that is ECOWAS. Furthermore, she was also appointed co-chair of the United Nations Secretary General's high-level panel of eminent persons on the post-2015 development agenda. For her achievements, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has enough to go around. Oh boy. For her courage and unwavering commitment to expanding freedom and improving the lives of our citizens and Africans at large, she was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. This is the highest civilian honor in the United States. She was also honored with the Grand Croix of the Légion d'Honneur, France's highest public distinction. Also, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was named on Forbes 100 Most Powerful Women in the World. These are just some of her achievements. Perhaps Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's greatest recognition as a global leader for women's empowerment came in 2011, when she was awarded the prestigious Nobel Prize for Peace alongside two remarkable women. So, to cut the long story short, Ellen's life was far from perfect. She had obstacles to scale through that seemed unending. However, the greater call to serve humanity always pushed her to achieve greatness. We can only be grateful to the women who laid the foundation for Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's success. And to the ones who are ready to continue where she left off, the world awaits your greatness.
Care to share your thoughts about this episode? Leave a review or your suggestions on our platform or on iTunes. Join me on the next episode of Long Story Short on Jamit FM. I have been your host, Iwa.
Long Story Short was produced by Liwa and Aiko Rizu. This episode was edited, mixed and mastered by Aiko Rizu. Long Story Short is a production of Jamit Media.